Turn to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. We're going to pick up there. What we're going to do is we're going to go back just a little bit, and then we're going to come forward. We're going to start in number 9 on your notes, so when you get them, you'll be able to pick up right from there. One of the things that I want us to do is I want us to examine a phrase that is found in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1. And down in verse 27 as well. And it's interesting when you look at these phrases. Now, one of the other things I want you to understand is when you look at verse 26 and you look at verse 27, you see the name God there in that place. Let me share one of the things with you. In the Old Testament, and I've gone over this with you before. Some of you may remember, some of you may not. Or if you've never heard this before, let me just kind of share this with you. As you go through reading the Old Testament, all right, and you're going through the Old Testament, when you see the word Lord, pay very close attention when you see the word Lord in the Old Testament, because it's written one of two ways. It'll either be written with a capital L, little O, little R, little D, or it will be written with a capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now, there is a significant difference between those two. When you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that is actually Yahweh or Jehovah, okay? Of course, none like Him, never has been, never will be. There is but one Lord, okay? So, when you see capital L, little O, little R, little D, that's what we refer to in Hebrew as Adonai, okay? So when you're reading through that, there is a difference in the designations of the name of God as you see those. And then the third one in the Old Testament is God. So you will see God referred to three ways. God, capital G-O-D, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, and then capital L, little O, little R, little D. Okay? So you'll find all three of those. Now, when you see God, in Hebrew, that is Elohim. Okay? That is Elohim. So when you see God, Elohim, when you go back and you look at verse 26 and verse 27, one of the things that you will notice, of course, is the use of the word God there. Well, if you go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, Elohim. Okay? Or Creator. All right? Capital C, R-E-A-T-O-R, Creator. Okay? The one and only Creator that there was. So, that's just kind of a side note. So as we look at verse 26 and verse 27, you will notice, and God said, let us make man in our image. All right? The word image there is interesting. I want to kind of give you just a quick little Hebrew lesson tonight. Just so when you see these, and you see this verse, and you see these words, they're not just words as we think about them. The actual Hebrew word for image is the Hebrew word selem, okay? And if you want an English spelling of that, it's S-E-L-E-M, and it's pronounced selem, okay? And also, if you see the word likeness, if you go on in verse 26, you'll notice after our likeness. That comes from the Hebrew word demut, okay? And demut, which talks about likeness. And let me just kind of give you a definition of both image and likeness. If you put those two words together, it refers to something that is similar but not identical to. Right? They're similar but not identical to the thing it represents or is the image of. So we're created in the image and in the likeness of God. So what does that really mean when we think about it? So what does it really mean to be created in the image and in the likeness of God? I mean, what does that really mean for us? And all right, if you hold your hand up real high in the air, she'll make sure that you get a copy of this, all right? We're at number 9 on that sheet, all right? Boy, there's hands up all over the place. Did you run out? Do you have to go back? She might have it. Let's see. Looks like she's going to have it. Okay. Who does not have one? All right, everybody got one? I think she's got... Does she have one left over? That's okay. All right, go to number 9. on the notes, all of you who have got them now, let me give you, I think I put a note down there for you on number 9. Did I give you a note on number 9 that says the meaning is that God planned to make a creature similar to himself? All right. Underneath there, you may want to write those two words, selem, the Hebrew word selem, S-E-L-E-M, okay, equates to the word image, and damut, D-A-M-U-T, equates to the English word likeness, all right? So what does that really mean? Well, let me kind of give it to you. I'm going to frame that for you in a nice little one-line sentence, okay? Here it is. Let us make man to be like us and to represent us. Let us make man to be like us and to represent us. Okay? Now, is there significance to that? Sure. Go to Genesis chapter 5. Turn to Genesis chapter 5, and I want you to look at verse number 3. Okay? Not identical to, okay? But to be like us and to represent us. So we have an example of this, the same Hebrew word found in verse 3 of chapter number 5. All right? And the same two Greek, or the same two Hebrew words, selem and demut, are contained here in verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begat, or had a son in his own, now notice this, in his own likeness, okay, and after his image. Does that mean that Seth was an identical twin of Adam? No. Was he identical to him in every way? No. But was he begot in the likeness and the image of Adam? Yes. So were we created in the image and the likeness of God? Yes. Identical to him? No. Representative of him? Yes. Okay? In the likeness of who he is. All right? Now, let's go to number 10. It's going to get a little bit, deeper for you. Okay? I want you to understand this. I hope you can get your hands around this, and I want you to understand this, okay? God's image is distorted, but it's not lost. That image that we created is distorted, but it's not lost, okay? And what do we mean by that? The reason for man's universal perversion, right, of what man is, I want you to understand, was man's devising, not God's, okay? God created man perfect, placed him in a perfect environment, okay? Placed him in the Garden of Eden. And man had a choice. And let me just go ahead and clarify that right now. Man had a choice when he was placed in the garden. All right? So I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And I want us to look at verse 22 through verse 24. The image, that relationship of which God created man in, is distorted, but it's not lost. Okay? I want you to notice verse 22 of Genesis chapter number 3. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24, so he drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So that relationship between God and man was strained. It was distorted as a result of the sin in the garden. Okay? So therefore, as a result of that, every human being that is born, as John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, is condemned already because of the sin, of course, of Adam and Eve. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. And verse 29. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. Now, let me say this. There is a teaching out there surrounding the nature of man that is taught by another theological bent when it comes to the depravity of man. And basically what they teach is they are not sinful until the point that they become at the age of accountability to be able to discern between right and wrong. Okay? I'm not going to get into a debate tonight on that. Let me just suffice it to say, I believe when you're born, okay, and you come forth out of the womb and you're a child, the Bible says that you're condemned already. And does that mean that when a baby dies? I have people ask me this all the time. Well, preacher, what does the Bible say concerning when a baby dies? Do you believe if a baby dies, he goes to heaven? Yeah, I do. Okay. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, David's own child. Okay. The Bible says that the child will not come to you, but you will come to the child. Okay. So we know that from Scripture. And I will tell you, you can go look at the rest of Scripture, you're not going to find anything other than the account of David and the child there, okay, when it comes to that. But I just believe that until that child reaches the age of accountability, will he be held accountable for that, okay? Doesn't mean that he's not born after the sin of Adam. He is. Why? Because John chapter 3, verse 17 says you're condemned already when you're born, okay? So we know that. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29, I want you to notice what it says. And this, of course, is from Solomon and all of his infinite wisdom. And notice what he said in verse 29. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions or devices or schemes. Okay? That word inventions means devices. It means schemes. Okay? And let me tell you something. There is not a more complete statement, okay, on the nature of sinful man than right there. But they have sought out many inventions or devices. Who sought them out? Man did. God placed Adam in a perfect environment, okay, created him perfect, put him in a perfect environment, put him in a perfect place. They gave man a choice. And of course, we all know the choice that he made. All right, number 11. So after the fall, one of the things I want you to understand, after the fall, we're still in God's image, all right? We're still like God, and we still represent God, but that image has been distorted, okay, because of that sinful nature that you and I have within us. It has become flawed, it's become strained, that relationship between us and God, as a result of the sin, all right? Number 12, we're going to run some more passages of Scripture here. It's encouraging to know, though, from all of this, that our redemption in Christ means that we can, even in this life, progressively grow into more and more likeness of God. I mean, I have people tell me this, or they ask me this all the time. Well, you know, what, we're created in the image of God. What does that really mean? I mean, how do you take that phrase and make an application of it and put it to where we are today, where we walk today? Well, I mean, I hate to tell you this, but when God saved you, He didn't save you to remain a babe in Christ. He didn't save you to do that. Okay? He saved us, and here's what He did. And I'm going to tell you something. This scares a lot of Baptists. Okay? And don't let this scare you, because I'm just going to use a word that just absolutely turns a lot of them. I'm going to use the word predestined. Okay? Don't let it scare you. Okay? God didn't predestine us to heaven or hell. Okay? But here's what He did. Romans chapter 8, He predestined us. In other words, to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's where the predestined comes in. To be what? To be conformed to the image of His Son. In other words, as we live our life, as we become a child of God, as we live our life, for us to become more and more and more representative of Christ and who He is in our lives. So that people, when they look at us, people don't see us, but guess who they see? They see Christ in us. The very love of God Himself is shown through us. But how do you do that? I mean, how do you come to the point in your life where you become more and more like Christ? I like to tell you this is a growing process. It's a process. Is it going to happen overnight? No. But here's what we often expect. Somebody walks down the aisle, gets saved. We baptize them, and a week later, they're supposed to be a perfect A number one Christian. Boy, they're supposed to know it all. They're supposed to be able to walk, talk, and act like that. Okay? I hate to tell you this, don't work that way. Okay? How many of us have been saved for a long time, still stumble and fall? We still struggle with things. Okay? It's a process. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who are now on up in age, okay? Are you a perfect human being yet? Huh? How about when you were a child? Were you perfect when you were a child? Huh? Were you? How many of y'all never cried when your mama brought you home from the hospital? You never pitched a fit. You never stomped. Never had a tantrum. You didn't do any of that. You did everything your mom and daddy told you to do. Went to school. Everything your teachers told you to do, you did. Okay? Made straight A's on everything. Never had a problem at all. Okay? I used to tell my mom, Mom, I was the only perfect child you had. Now, don't some of y'all say, are you the only child? No. There was another one, okay? But here's the point I'm trying to get at, okay? We're to grow more and more like Christ. So how do you do that? How does that happen? Well, I hate to tell you this, but just coming to church is not going to do it. It's a everyday occurrence. It's an everyday affair, okay? It's part of our everyday life. Well, how do we know that? Well, turn with me. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. And then we're going to go over to 1 Peter. Colossians chapter 3. Now, I love Colossians 3:10. Okay? I put that right alongside Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Okay? Colossians 3:10, very similar to it. And have put on the new man. What did Paul writing to the church at Corinth say? You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we baptize somebody, it's a picture of putting off and the burying of the old man and raising to life the new man. Okay? So here's what Paul says writing to the church at Colossae. He said, and have put on the new man. Now watch this, which is renewed in knowledge after what? The image of Him that created him. After the image of who? Well, speaking of Christ here, a lot of people say, oh, wait a minute, hold it. You mean Jesus was present at creation? Yes, He was. The Holy Spirit was present at creation. Okay? All three. That's why you see the use of plural pronouns in verse 26 and verse 27 of Genesis chapter number 1. Let us make man in our image. Okay? Speaking of all three. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And let's look at verse 17 and verse 18. Because one of the things that we're commanded to do, and I hate to tell you this, but you're never going to know. You know, I hear people say this all the time. Well, I'm supposed to be like Christ. Well, how do we know what Christ was like? Well, I'll tell you what, if you'll take your Bible and read it, okay, you'll find out exactly what He was like. All right? 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter, chapter 3. What did I do? Tell y'all 1 Peter. See there? I just lost it right there. No, 2 Peter chapter 3. Everybody there? Verse 17 and verse 18. Notice what it says. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. Verse 18 is what I want to get to. But grow. See that word, but grow. That's what that means. Means to grow. Okay? Grow in what? In the knowledge and grace and in the knowledge of who? Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? To do what? To grow. To grow. Not stay on the milk, but get to the point that we're eating of the meat. Okay? To grow to spiritual maturity is what we need to do. All right? Now, it's interesting when you look at the word likeness and image in the New Testament. because the Greek word for image is a cone. Okay? Let me spell that. I'll give you the English spelling of that. It is E-I. Okay? It's E-I, and that's pronounced A. Okay? K-O-N has a long O, so a cone. Okay? And it means the same as the Hebrew word, Salem, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. So the Greek word, a cone, means exactly the same thing as the Hebrew word, Salem, does in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Isn't that amazing? Huh? Isn't that amazing? Number 13, okay? Number 13 in your notes. As we study the Word of God and gain a greater understanding of God, we do what? We become more like Him. Okay? Number 14 should be on the back of your sheet. Okay? In fact, God determined that we should be conformed to the image of His Son. There it is. Let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Okay? Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. A lot of folks, they don't like to go to Romans chapter 8. Okay? Because of some of the verbiage. But I want you to notice with me verse 29. Okay? Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For whom He did foreknow. Don't let that scare you. Okay? All of those He knew. Is God omniscient? Yes. Does God know everything? Yes. Does God know who's going to accept Him and who rejects Him? Yes, He does. So all of those that He foreknew, okay, that knew that they were going to accept Him, okay, here's what He did. He also did predestinate to heaven or hell. Is that what it says? No. What does it say? To be conformed. To be conformed to what? To the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? That's what God intends for us to be. Conformed to the image of His Son, so that the world sees God through us. Right? And we're that example. That's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said to be the light and to be the salt. If a light is hid under a bushel, nobody can see it. Okay? But we need to let our light shine. In other words, we need to allow the love of God to be seen through us in everything that we do. Number 15. Okay? At the return of Christ, the complete restoration of the image will occur. At His return, a complete restoration of the image will occur. So that relationship will be, once again, our redemption will be complete at that point in time. Okay? We will receive our glorified body. We'll go spend eternity with Him. All right? What a grand and glorious thought that is. Number 16. So just as we have been like Adam, subject to sin and death, we shall also be like Christ, morally pure and never subject to death again. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 49. We kind of touched on this. Matter of fact, here comes that Greek word again. Okay? In verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, okay? Or of the dust, right? That earthly tabernacle, okay? We shall also bear the, here it is, the image of the what? Of the heavenly. This mortal must put on immortality. Okay? Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. All right? So that which is corruptible must put on incorruption. In other words, that that's perishable must put on that that's imperishable. Okay? We as a mortal, okay, will be changed to immortal, okay, to immortality. Now let's go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. It's interesting because I want you to look at verse 3 first. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Okay? that hope consists of three things found back up in verse number 2. And here they are. Number 1 is Christ's appearing. Number 2 is our seeing Him. And number 3 is our becoming like Him. All right? So look at verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear, okay, what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, the appearing of Christ, okay, that we shall be what? Like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Christ appearing, our seeing Him, and our becoming like Him. That's all contained in that one verse. So we will be like Christ, a glorified body, an heir, joint heir with Christ, to forever be with Him throughout all of eternity. It's interesting when you look at the word like in these two passages that we've talked about. It comes from the Greek word homoios, okay, which has the same meaning as the Greek word or the Hebrew word demute that we found back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. That's interesting. I started running them and looking at them and looked at the definition of both of them, and they're identical in their definition of what they mean. Okay, so let me tell you what that does. The same God who created all that there is able to preserve His Word all the way through to the book of the Revelation, and it speaks of Himself and who He is. Amen? Whew, that's just good stuff. Okay? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing, the Word of God? All right, that finishes A. All right, and we'll move to B, Lord willing, next Wednesday night, and we will be looking at man's primitive state and man's probation. We're actually going to get into the depth of the fall, okay? So I would encourage you to be here for that. We're going to look at 10 different things surrounding the fall, and I think that will be good for you. All right? As we prepare for this coming Lord's Day, looking forward to it, we'll be baptizing again Sunday morning. I got another one to baptize, so we praise the Lord for that. As God continues to bless, and just a lot of things going on, and we just praise the Lord for His blessing and for His faithfulness to us. All right, any thoughts or anything before we go? You know.